All right, we're on number 20 of lesson number one, and we'll finish this today. God, everything starts with God, and behind me on the board are 12 words, and those 12 words are the 12 steps or stages in discipling someone. You have somebody who's become a believer, and they don't know the grammar. They don't know how it works. They don't know what comes first, one second. And this is a grammar. This is a way of, it's a scaffold. You can throw it away later, so it's just a memory device. Don't worry about the words. They're not eternal or something. But they're all familiar words to you. But everything starts with God. Then it goes that God, it could be known by the law or the gospel. So God wants to be known by the gospel. Now the gospel is actually in the law, but that's another whole understanding. But don't try to understand God through the law, because the letter of the law kills. So you won't get anywhere. The game will be over. But if you understand God through the gospel, then the next thing you do, if you had the law, you couldn't do this. The next thing you do is you repent. If it was the gospel, you could repent, but if it was the law, you couldn't repent. In other words, even when men repented under the law, they weren't really repenting. It's not New Testament type repentance or godly sorrow. It's just legalistic. It's just legalistic. So God, gospel, that's the only thing that will produce real repentance. In other words, it's the love of God that leads to repentance. It's the love of God. The unconditional love of God that is not known here, we don't have it among ourselves until we learn it from God, that He would love the unlovely. We don't love unlovely people. We only love, you know, we look for the silver lining in someone because we can only love lovely. But God loves unlovely. He only forgives those that are undeserving, unworthy. That is unknown among all religions of the world, all mankind. That's how we know they're all false religions. So God, who's a loving Father, gives us the gospel, not the law. He gives you the law with the left hand, but He gives you the gospel with the right hand. Most people take the law. Most people take the law because that agrees with their human nature, which is because they're sinful, they would more readily be depressed than they would that God would love them. So most people do not believe in the gospel. The gospel is very hard to believe because it means you'd have to be free and responsible, and most people would rather be slaved and miserable. Whether you think that or not, most people, not little kids, but most people who are adults, have no love of themselves. They hate themselves. So 99.999% of the people out there, even Christians, they don't have any love for themselves because they don't know the gospel. The gospel is not God loves you because you are good, but that's what even Christians think that. Well, God loves me because I'm good or because I will be good. No, He doesn't. He loves you for no reason at all that you will ever know about. It's just His own love. So God, gospel, repentance, and then faith. They're two sides of the same coin, but repentance always precedes faith. Now, I don't want to explain that. I'll just say it. But repentance is listed first. Repentance means I no longer believe in myself. I no longer believe in my sin, and I no longer believe in my religious, nice self. I don't believe in my bad self or my good self. I don't believe in myself at all. So repentance is not just, oh, I'm sorry I committed adultery. That's not repentance. Repentance is my whole life is evil because I didn't believe on Jesus. So Jesus doesn't want you to just clean up your outward act legalistically. He wants you to actually come into a loving relationship with Him right now as you are, not cleaned up, not fixed up. We don't love people that are fixed up. We love people as they are. So God, gospel, God's a loving Father. He gives us the gospel, which is unconditional, no conditions to it at all. He just loves us because it's His nature to love. He doesn't love you because you're lovable. How many know none of you are lovable? And anyone living with you knows that. You're not, you don't have anything to commend you. You know, if somebody says, I don't think anyone loves me, good. That's very good. You've finally figured it out because there's nothing in you lovable. You can pretend and play act and, you know, put on this and put on that and so on to get people to buy their love. But the truth is, nobody does love you. And the more they know about you, the more they should hate you. Because you're not nice. You're a nasty, selfish, despicable, hypocritical, shallow, boring person. I just thought I would say that to save you a lot of psychiatry bills.
Yeah.
No need to go to a psychiatrist. Here you'll learn the truth.
Yeah.
The truth will set you free. So God, gospel, repentance, faith, those are the first four. They go in fours. There's three fours here. Now the first four then are all about what God has done. In other words, it's all passive on your part. You have nothing to do with God. You have nothing to do with the gospel. You have nothing to do with repentance. It's not even a work, nor faith. Not a work either. Faith is just responding to repentance, which is just responding to the gospel, which is just part of God. So the first four. Then you meditate on that. Now this is you doing something. So the next four are meditation, happiness, worship, and character. This is you doing something, and it impacts you inwardly. Doesn't change you outwardly. It's not behavioral. The last four are behavioral. So first the spirit, then the soul, then the body. Spirit, soul, body. Four, four, four. Did you all follow that? I want you to get this. Don't try to understand it. Just learn it. They're like little kids. Don't be smart. Don't be clever. Just simply learn it. First four. God, gospel, repentance, faith, meditation, worship. I'm sorry, meditation, happiness, worship, and character. That's all inward. Now that you have character, you get guidance, then you obey, then you're tested, and then you get the victory. So, that's a summary. We're not teaching that, I'm just summarizing that. That we're starting from the pitcher box right now, God. God. Everything starts with God. In the beginning, God. God, 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 God. Everything is God. And you see today's whole world, what's wrong with America, why America is being judged, is because they've forgotten God. The whole problem today, secular, never meant ever in the history of the world what it now means. Secular now means without reference to God, which is not neutral, it's hostile. In other words, the secular world is considered this world, but this world was never seen by the ancients without reference to God. No ancient person ever thought of the world without a creator. But today, America sees itself as a secular nation, which means not religious. But secular never was contrasted with irreligious, contrasted with religion, so that it's irreligious, or neutral to religion, or without reference to God. But ever since the French Revolution, same time as ours, a new concept arose, which is, let's develop a state, the Russian state was later built on this, without reference to God. Let's have a world without reference to God. Let's do science without reference to God. Let's do everything without reference to God. First time in the history of the world anyone ever thought of that. So secular, which only means in the Greek, secular, and in the Latin, secularum, it only means pertaining to this world. But this world always was created by someone, the creator. Aristotle knew that. All the ancients knew that. They always knew that this world was not on its own. It didn't exist on its own. Highest rebellion is the modern rebellion, as seen in the French Revolution, which is a Masonic disorder. It's a Masonic convulsion. The spirit of Masonry is to remove God. That's why they have a big G in their symbol. The Masonic order has a big G because that God is not the God that you and I know about. It's not even the creator God. It's just a Gnostic symbol, G, Gnostic. It's just a geometric thing. It's just this world operating without reference to God. Certainly without reference to the revealed God, but even without reference to the natural God, the God who created heaven and earth. Now, I know you didn't understand that, but buy the tape and listen to it 100,000 times till you get it, because the whole world is built on what I just said. And there's very few people alive today that know what I just told you. So you can't read it in a book, you can't buy a book and get it, and so on and so forth, because understanding is gone now. The understanding that I'm giving you is gone. So you must get it. I'm giving it to you. It's all in the Bible. That this world has all, and all I'm adding is the history of it and the evolution of it and so on. It's been convoluted over the years. The French Revolution has now conquered America. Also, the English from whom we broke, they won. They are the legalists. The French are the licentious. So, the legalists, those are the British who wanted the monarchy. And they wanted to have no liberty because the monarch limited you. The French wanted no liberty either, even though they say liberté, égalité, fraternité. This is all nonsense. They don't believe in liberté. They meant liberty from God. They didn't mean liberty to obey God. But that's license. So they didn't mean liberty. They meant licentiousness. Now, the French now have won. Hollywood, everything today, school systems, they all teach perversion, even down into the kindergarten. What would you do if there were four of you in a boat and you had to kick out one that was your mother and all that stuff? That's just all perversion, and they teach that now to little children, and they're just socialism. Fascism, socialism, communism, everything is taught today except what our founders believed. So I am a revolutionary because I go all the way back, and I've trained myself to do so. I go all the way back to the beginning. I have perfect understanding of all of it. I don't have any confusion, any nonsense about any of it. So whether it's economics or politics or religion or science or philosophy or art, or I don't care what it is, my understanding is immaculate. Now, where did I get it? I didn't get it because I was a student. I got it because I'm a pastor, reading the Bible, falling in love with Jesus. And you ought to know the same thing, and you ought to teach your children and your grandchildren what you know. So it does you well, we're not doing this on Sunday morning, it does you well to be discipled, that is to be trained, to be taught, and today everyone goes off to university or off to public school and so on. There was no public school until 1837. There was no public school in this country. Education never belonged to the public. It was always done by home or church. And sometimes private school, period, never public. Public is demonic. Public is demonic. I'm sorry. I wish I could, you know, spend a lot of time and teach you everything. I can't. I just don't have time to do it. But public was invented by Horace Mann. And he invented what he called secular education. I just told you what secular meant. But he redefined the word. It's a Masonic French Revolution understanding of secular. A world without reference to God, as though we were floating on our own and we were part of the brave new world that didn't have God to rely upon anymore. So all of modern philosophy, with which I'm thoroughly imbibed and knowledgeable, all of ancient philosophy, all of Chinese philosophy, I don't care what it is, all of that philosophy is a bunch of baloney and nonsense. The Bible sums it all up and says, philosophy is a vain deceit. Now, don't study philosophy because it's a vain deceit. It's deceptive. So all philosophy, whether it's Aristotle or Plato or Socrates or, you know, whether it's, you know, whoever, doesn't make any difference who it is, you know, Berdyaev or, you know, Whitehead or whoever, all nonsense. But that's my whole life. I spent my whole life studying art, several degrees, 2 degrees in art, formal, many more. I have all kinds of degrees in philosophy and psychology and so on. It's all garbage, all nonsense, all me. But when I met Jesus Christ, I threw it away. I threw it away, and I realized I had lived my life without reference to God. I am what I'm talking about. I came out of that world where you didn't, I mean, I didn't just kind of like have it as a philosophy or an idea. I lived it. I breathed it. I never, ever believed in God. Did not believe in God. So this was all new to me to come into a God understanding. Everything starts with God. And God determines everything. And your view of God determines absolutely everything. And once I made that decision, I didn't make any other decisions. I've never made more than one decision in my life. I decided that I was wrong and that there was a God. Having decided that, all my decisions are over. I can't now divorce Peggy because she's mean. That decision's already decided for me. Now I not only don't divorce her, I love her with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. So that's just the way it is. And I love you too. Otherwise, I would have hated you, and you know, I would have conned you, and so on and so forth. I mean, I would have a totally different view, but God ruined everything I ever planned. Just completely turned everything upside down. Just turned it upside down. Now I see that everything I was vain. I don't know if you've come to that conclusion, but you are a vain person apart from Christ. Apart from Christ. So to avoid vanity, let's start everything with God. And then let's never forget Him. Let's meditate upon Him day and night. Let's, you know, worship Him. Let's be happy in Him. Let's develop our character through Him. Because everything I now do is nothing but God. It's no longer me. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave Himself for me. Everything is now God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, it depends on your understanding of God. Many people agree, yes, yes, God, 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 but they have a nasty God, a mean God, a conditionally loving God. He loves you when you're good, but He hates you when you're bad, a Santa Claus type God. Better watch out. Better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Because He only likes you if you're good. But the God I know likes you when you're not good, which is always. Because you would try to do away with God Himself. Your Creator, my people know not even who I am. I created them and they don't even know who I am. So a world without God is inconceivable to me now. But at one time, it was my life. It defined me. Now I've been redefined, reborn. I've been born again. I'm not who I used to be. That is a fictional person from the past. I'm still familiar with myself. I could write a story about it. I could tell you about it. But it's not me. Me is no longer me. Now Christ in me, that's the new me. Me in Christ is a totally new me. Isn't that what's happening?
Oh yeah.
We're learning to redefine everything in terms of God. Everything I think of, pass the butter, hallelujah, God. You know, everything I do is God. That's God's butter, and Peggy, the one passing it to me, is God's beloved wife, and you know, everything for me now is God.
Amen.
I'm ruined. I'm totally useless now to this world's you know, non-God people. But I am no longer part of the French Revolution. I no longer believe in an independent life. You remember Adam and Eve? They got independent of God. You remember He said, "Don't eat of the tree," and they said, "You know, who needs you?" And they went and made clothing for themselves, and they did all kinds of things all on their own because they didn't want God. But when you don't have God, you will have man, which means you will have the devil. You don't want to be a slave of God? You will be a slave of Satan. You don't want to be a slave of God? You will be a slave of Satan. You will be a slave of sin. You'll be a slave of alcohol, of drugs, of, you know, immorality, of idolatry. There's no possibility. Life is simple. So it all boils down to one thing. Do you believe in God, the real God, not a fake God? There are false gods out there, but false gods are no gods at all. So really, a false god is really no god. So all the other gods are no gods at all. They're vain. They're just puff, nothing. There's nothing there. So in 1964, just personally, God spoke to me at Yale when I was sitting there in the classroom. And He said, "Vanity of vanities," my favorite scripture, my most philosophical verse. The only thing I liked in the Bible was the philosophy of it. Because I was a philosophy major. I was always into philosophy. And God just reduced my philosophy to one word. It's a vain deceit. That's it. It's over with. Well, you mean I'm a deceiver? You got it. There it is. And so God reduced me, but He didn't do it in my mind. He just destroyed me totally in my being. I walked out of the class that day and never been the same since. That was a total destruction to my old man. I didn't become a Christian. I just ceased being in love with this world. I lost all my love, all my joy, all my joie de vivre, everything, all my excitement about this world, you know, being at Yale, being, you know, one degree after another, going on, you know, amount to something, be President of the United States, you know, the richest man in the world, you know, the most smart, you know, whatever. All of that went out the window. It's gone. Now I just went home and talked to Peg. A dull, boring life.
Oh.
Hi, Peg. You see? But I became that day a real human being. No longer living in the clouds, but one living on the ground. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's extremely important because God had to remake me. It took me 6 more years for God to destroy the destruction thoroughly. In other words, it wasn't enough just to arrest me, which happened on that day, but he had to then destroy me piece by piece by piece by piece, because it took a long time to build up that phony, fake nonsense. So he had to destroy all that. And the same with you. Once you turn to God, that doesn't mean you're finished with this world. You have to go through a chastening and a chastisement and a re-educating and a debriefing until you learn to think in a whole new way. I didn't have the joy of the Lord at that point. I was just sad that I couldn't sin anymore so easily, so readily, so, you know, without God. I didn't have a God. You know, y'all did. Y'all grew up in Sunday school and church and had morals and so on. I didn't even have, you know, fathers around or anything. I didn't know anything. I just reinvented myself, invented myself again. Just, I did whatever I wanted to do. No one ever controlled me. I was completely out of control until I met Jesus that day. Well, actually, I didn't even meet him. He came, visited me. But he liked me. He loved me. He sought me out. I hated him. I never did serve him. For 6 years, even after that, I still didn't serve him. I'm not telling my story. I'm illustrating something. That it's God that makes all the difference in the world. I was already going to school, already married, already, you know, well on my way to amounting to a hill of beans. But God stopped that. God didn't want me to be something. He wanted me to be his son, to be his beloved.
Yes.
And that was going to take some doing because I had no love in me. I had no interest at all in religion or in anything. I just selfish, nasty. Proud, and so on. But God broke me down little by little. I hope that's happened to you. I hope you understand the word repent means totally to bring every thought captive to the Word of God. You know, I had no, it was a total reversal for me because I had no love, no interest, no nothing to God. I didn't even know there was a God. Even for 6 years until I got to Texas. By the way, that's where I found God, here. Found Him in Texas. You all understand, huh? In Phoenix, yeah, but it was when I came here to Texas. And, you know, I somehow knew there was a bunch of redneck wild goat ropers down here. A lot of Baptists and whatnot. I knew, you know, somehow, because I knew the only thing that I really knew was the people that I was listening to were liars. And I was the biggest. So I was just going to go anywhere where the people I was listening to weren't. So that's why I headed for the South. I knew I was going to go somewhere where the Baptist type, you know, Bible Belt weird people were. And that's why I came here. I found you. I found you. You know, and you know, I hated it at first. I hated it, you know, because I found even the Baptists were phony. Then I went to the Pentecostals. I found, you talk about phony, they were really phony. You know, they not only believed in the Holy Spirit, they ate his feathers. I mean, you know, it was too much. But now I are one. I now eat the feathers that come out of my mouth now. So it's good. But I remember the first woman that walked up to me and hugged me. I've never seen that before. That was not a Yankee thing. You know, we don't hug people. Howdy, you know, and just stiff frozen. You know, it's like, get this person off of me. You know, it's like, I hate it. But now I'm a big hugger. But, you know, I had to learn. Amen? So I thank God for the South. I thank God for the Baptists and the whoever's down here. I don't even know who's down here. But this is the best place to be because people still believe in the Bible and they still believe in the truth and they still reference God. You know, in New York City, when the 1929 crash happened, people jumped out of windows. But in Texas, they just took the bullhorns off their Cadillacs. That was all. Went back to church. See, that's a little different deal. I remember in 1973 and so on when the oil thing happened, you know, just the Cadillac, park that thing and go back to church. That's a different view. I remember Cullen Davis and a lot of other people who had a lot of money. They didn't go the way of jumping out the window. They just went back to Jesus or found him for the first time, as in Cullen's case. But it was good. It was exciting because I realized, wow, maybe there really is a God. I got to know. I got to find out. I mean, I'm going to waste my whole life if I don't find out. So I just blew everything off and searched for God. God is everything. Y'all understand? But it isn't just like an intellectual understanding. I had an intellectual understanding. I knew about God. I'd read all the books. I knew a lot. But that didn't help. I didn't have a personal love affair with him. And Lutherans, I was a Lutheran. Lutherans didn't teach that. I was actually a pagan, but I was a Lutheran pagan. Okay? So I come from a very formal, very intelligent kind of background. But it didn't help. Because I knew, even though it looked good, sounded good, and so on, there was something missing. Like life. Wasn't a lot of life in it. It was all the right answers, but there was no life in it. But when I met him, and I can't say that the Baptist did anything or anything else. I can just say when I met him, though, I realized this is what I was looking for my whole life. This is really what I was looking for, but I didn't know it. And so I fell in love with Jesus. Now, I'm a lover to this day. The day I met him, I fell in love. I have never grown more in love or less in love. I'm still exactly as I was, like a newborn, brand new, just like day one, I'm still in love with him. Still absolutely in love. I don't know. I don't understand Christians that kind of half love him or something, or that used to be but aren't now, or trying to grow into it. I started from day one passionately in love. But I totally repented of this world, 100%. Just one second I was pagan, satanic. The next second I was Jesus in love. Now, to me, that's the only way. I don't even know of another way. I don't know how you get in through Sunday school. I don't know how you get in through, you know, badges and stuff. I don't know how you get in that way. All I know is a total repentance, total fall in love with Jesus. And I never experienced a dry time. I know all that, and I've read all that. I don't doubt it. I'm just telling you, never happened to me. I have been fervently in love. Peggy can tell you, I've been fervently in love with Jesus from the very beginning. Never had a dry time, never had that. So I don't know what it's like. I don't understand where a lot of people come from. If you don't love Jesus, I don't understand that. Have you ever repented? I mean, weren't you in the world at one time? Didn't you love the world with all your heart? You know. So if you weren't, how would you repent? If you were already halfway good, then she that hath been forgiven much loveth much. That was me. I was like that. I'd been forgiven everything. So if that hadn't happened to you, I don't know what to say. I mean, you're not going to be a big lover then, because I totally appreciate Jesus.
Amen.
He's everything.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
So that's what I covet for you, and whether you emotionally are there or not, you ought to be. I mean, work through until you get there. I did. I stayed out for 6 years after he talked to me. I stayed out till I got it down, but when I came in, I came in. I counted the cost, sat down, counted the cost, decided I wouldn't pay it for 6 years. And then after 6 years, 1 minute, I just decided that's it, I'm paying it. And I bought the pearl of great price, and ever since I've been in love. Do you understand? I mean, I just immediately started reading the Bible 6 hours a day. Just immediately began praying, reading the Bible, just falling in love with Jesus. I didn't even know what the rules were. Even though I knew a lot about religion, religion didn't teach me that. So everything starts with God, verse 20, or number 20. Most churches legalistically skip over the beginning steps in Christian discipleship. Here they are. Meditation, happiness. They don't want to go through those and all the rest. Most churches legalistically skip over the beginning steps in Christian discipleship of meditation and happiness. And they guide believers straight to the latter part, that of obedience, which is step number 10. They go immediately from 1, 2, 3, 4, straight to 10. That's like hitting the ball and running to third base. That's not how the game is played. By the way, I didn't do that. I did not do that. I went all the bases. I didn't even know what they were. But looking back, that's exactly what I did. I mean, I just was staggered by the gospel. I was staggered that God was a loving father and that he didn't hate me or whatever, because I never served him. I never liked him. I never did anything for him. I wouldn't have picked a person like me. I just wouldn't. I mean, I thought he was foolish. But, you know, considering the alternative, I was glad he picked me. Because everything about me was vain. But he picked me as a sinner, not fixed up, not cleaned up. I didn't even make any promises to him. I didn't say, you know, if you pick me, I'll really help out the team. That was not my thought at all. my thought was, well, you must be a sap. But picking me, you've ruined the whole, I don't know what it was like before I got in, but I know what it'll be like after I get in. This thing will fall down. It'd be no good. But I'm joining because I understand there's some good benefits and I'm taking them. Where are the peanuts? You know, and I was just right away trying to grab all the stuff in a typical pagan, selfish way, but I was happy. So I meditated on what he was saying with Jim, I've forgiven you. Great. I didn't even know anything about obedience. I didn't even try to obey. I didn't fix up my marriage. I've never worked on any relationship ever in my life. I just don't work on things. I just selfish, nasty, that's all. And I just never worked on it. Here's Jesus loving me, and he's not making me do anything. I didn't have to clean my room, come to the table, nothing. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. It's, hey, where are the rules? And I was glad because I was a lawless person. But this religion was designed for a person like me. I just came in and grabbed, as I said, the peanuts and the ice cream and stuff. I just grabbed it right away. Hey, is anyone taking this? Okay, that's good. You know, and I just walked around and kicked at stuff. And I didn't know that there was any rules. I just thought it was all love. That's what he said. I love you unconditionally. I just took advantage of that. Well, great. Praise the Lord. Hey, you got any more? You know, and I didn't know what you were supposed to get. I didn't know what the rules were. Because as a Lutheran, they didn't even know. They had different kind of rules. You know, theirs was more or less behave yourself or something like that. I never did behave myself. So, I mean, you didn't have to believe in Jesus or anything as a Lutheran. You just had to be baptized as an infant. If you didn't get it then, you could get it when you were 12. I got it when I was 12. So, you know, I was okay. But most churches don't teach the truth. That doesn't mean they're not telling true things. They just don't teach it in such a way that it comes across as a living, loving relationship with the living God, where you're a worshiper and you're loving the brethren and so on. That's just a bunch of words, but not for me. Now I understand it. But I had to go through it. So I meditated day and night, not about Jim. I never meditated on him. Somebody said, Peggy would always say to me, well, how are you a Christian? I don't know. I don't know. I believe in the Word, I guess. What do you mean? Where's your fruit? It's coming. I don't know where it is. That's God's business. The way I read it, I don't do anything. I don't want to be a hypocrite and a worker. I don't want to be a self-righteous, proud worker. That's what I used to do in the world. So, no, I'll just let Jesus do it all. And he's just slow, I guess. I guess maybe it's an off day or something for him. And so Peg was always going, well, I don't see any fruit. Well, I'll admit there isn't any. Well, then how are you a Christian? Gosh, I have no idea, but I'm just believing. Don't take it away from me now. So Peg wanted me to, you know, buckle down and shape up right away, and I just wasn't into that. You know, I was still sinning, swearing. I did all kinds of stuff, and, you know, I just justified everything. But the only thing I wanted to know is, well, does Jesus still love me? Yeah, he still loves you, but. You know, so I didn't hear any but. I kept reading the thing, make sure there was no buts in there. So I knew what she was saying. I could see the language in there, but I was skipping over it. Just want to skip all the tens and the nines, and I'm just going straight to the, you know, to the good stuff. So I stayed on 1, 2, 3, and 4. I just focused on Jesus loved me, not whether I loved him. Yeah. Not whether I, you know, had perfect understanding. I was trying to get it. I was trying to get it. And I wasn't going to be bogged down by a bunch of rules. You know, I didn't want to be a Catholic, and I didn't want to be a, you know, evangelical or anything like that and work real hard to make myself look good. I just wanted to go on the faith alone. It's just, okay, just faith alone, right? You don't have to be good, right? Right. Okay, that's all I want. Just faith alone, be monstrous, but still, Jesus loves you. What a great addition to my life. Because I was already a very good sinner, and now I was adding that he loved me in spite of my sin. Well, I just loved it. I thought, that's it. So I only had, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That was it. And I was happy. So already 6. Now worship, as I said, worship only came spontaneously. I didn't know what it was. I didn't even know what it was. I didn't even know how to do it. I was just happy that he liked me. Now, I remember the first 3 years of my Christian walk, this is what I did. I thought, well, now that I'm a Christian, I probably should start somewhere in the Bible and follow it. But I don't know where to start. So I just kind of opened it up and picked a verse. I thought, well, you might as well just start any old place. Since you don't know where to start, start any old place. I didn't want to start at the beginning because it looked like it was a long way to the middle. So it just like I just didn't want to go like back that far. It's like I couldn't even pronounce Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, you know, so I didn't want to go back there. So I just started somewhere, and I hit on the verse, rejoice in the Lord always. No, that wasn't what it was, but it had to do with joy. What was it?
Rejoice evermore.
Count it all joy.
Count it all, no, that wasn't it. But whatever it was fun.
In the world you have trouble.
Give the world praise in everything or something like this. Yeah, in the world praise or whatever. I don't know what it was. Whatever it was good. And I didn't pick any other verses. That was just my verse right there. And I thought, well, that'd be an easy one. That'll be easy. Joy? Hey, I was already a happy pagan. I'm halfway there. I'll just thank God for everything.
Yeah.
Whatever the scripture said, you were supposed to thank God in all things. That's what it was. Thank God in all things. It must be a scripture like that. No, it had to be thank God for all things. Maybe it was, though. Maybe what Peggy said.
Give thanks for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Well, I don't know if it was that one, but it was a good one. Whatever it was. See, there's a million of them. That's the problem. The Bible just keeps repeating itself all over the place. But anyway, so I just got a hold of that, and I'd wake up in the morning kind of depressed, and I'd thank God for that. Thank God. I thank you, God, that I'm depressed today, and I don't want to read my Bible. Do I have to? Well, I thank God that I have to, even though I don't want to. And I thank God that I have a bad attitude. And I just thank God, literally, for everything, because that's what it said. Whatever that scripture said, I did it. And I never lied. I never pretended. I knew it was not a good confession or something, but I was just obeying that one scripture. Now, after 3 years of doing that, because Peggy can tell you she would try to get me down, kind of get me to, I don't mean she deliberately was doing this, she was just curious, I said, how are you a Christian? And I said, I don't either, but I'm sticking to this one verse I've started on. And I just stuck with it, and I said, I thank God that my wife's always, you know, laying the law on me or whatever you're supposed to do, and she's a hypocrite, I know she is. So I'm doing it right. I'm believing. Where's her believing? She's just trying to work and be legalistically dutiful and so on. Not me. I'm going to go for the real thing. Thank God for me doing the real thing. You know, and I just thank God for everything. So I wasn't mad at her for doing it. I just didn't buy it because she was going to take away my joy. She's going to get me into 10 or something. She wanted me to go to 8th grade, and I was just in 1st grade, kindergarten. I was just having fun. All right. So once I learned it that way, I found it all just happened without even my knowledge. I didn't even know how I was going through all the grades. But once I found that I was happy, I started worshiping. Happy people worship.
Amen.
You don't worship to get happy. You're not happy because you worship. I was happy before I worshiped. All my worship came out of my happiness because Jesus loved me. Just because he loved me, I was so happy.
Amen.
I knew I was rotten. I knew I was no good. It wasn't like you could say, well, Jim, you've committed this sin. You know, just name it. I'm sure I've committed it. And anything you point out, you only know half of it. It's about 50 million times whatever you thought. So I never was convicted by some person coming along and pointing their finger and say, well, I saw you lying the other day. Really? At what moment did you take that picture? I mean, it's like, I lie all the time. I'll lie right now. I mean, it was so easy to get me. But I didn't think God was into getting me. I thought God was into loving me. See, so I just blew all that off. I just pushed the spinach off my plate and ate the ice cream. I just kept eating the ice cream. Do we have any more ice cream? You know, I didn't eat my peas. I didn't chew any of my spinach. I didn't do that. But eventually, character began to form in me. Just as I was worshiping God, beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory. I found myself, without even trying, becoming like Jesus. I wasn't even trying. But that took 3 years. It took 3 years to get there. Because I was fighting off Peggy for the first 3 years. Because she was just moral. She wasn't really even in love with Jesus, but she was at least moral, and she knew you're supposed to look good. Well, I'm not going to look good. I don't want to look good. Jesus will make me look good if he wants to, and apparently he doesn't. You know, right now, because he's working on you, probably. You know, he's working on other people right now. He hadn't got around to me. But eventually, you know what happened? I was so happy all the time. I was always reading the Bible, praising God, so on. I hated doing it, but I'd just go like this. God, I hate reading this Bible, but I know you're supposed to do it, so I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it with a rotten attitude, but I'm still going to do it. And I just wanted to know, I praise you. I praise you for having a rotten attitude and reading this Bible. Hallelujah. And I just go ahead and read it. And eventually it started convicting me. Just because I did it without any sincerity, I had no sincerity, I was not anything. I wasn't adding anything to it, I just did it. He said to do it, and I did it. Remember, I was just going to read it and do whatever it said. So I just hit on that one verse, and I thought, well, as soon as I get this verse done, I'll go on to this second verse that I'll find. But I never got past the first verse. I was still praising him 3 years later, totally convicted, totally in love. I found already God had given me character. As soon as you have character, you get guidance. As soon as you're pure on the inside, guidance comes. There's nothing to distract you. You understand what I'm saying? But it didn't come from me working at it. I was just meditating on God's love. Then I just became happy. Then I just started to worship God. And then character began to form in me just because I was looking at his love. He didn't lust. He didn't get angry. He wasn't mad at me. And the more I looked at him, the more I was becoming like him without even knowing it. And eventually I fell in love with my mother, then with my wife. And you know, I always thought my wife would be first. But I was more threatened by my wife than my mom. My mom always used to try to hug me and try to squeeze me or something to get some kind of something out of me. And I didn't have anything in there. So, you know, Mom, I don't love you. I mean, just get it clear. You don't love me. No, Mom, just I don't. Poop. So, you know, there it is. I don't have any love in me. I could lie to you. You want me to lie like my sister? She doesn't like you either, but she just doesn't say it. I'll say it. You know, get off of that. Stop that. Now Peggy's trying to do that same kind of thing. She's trying to get me to love her or something. I don't have anything in me. I'm out. Zilch. Nothing. Look. Boo. There's nothing here. I'm boring. I'm flat. I'm nothing. I don't have anything. Now the Bible agrees with me. I told you. You know, the Bible says that. It says you're a sinner. That's me. You don't have anything. You can't do anything apart from him. That's me. You hear what I'm saying? So I had no religion in me. I had no morals, no religion. But God began to produce it just by hanging around him and reading his word, speaking it. What happened? It just started to become part of me. I didn't make it happen. He did. The word had the power. I didn't, you know, get it. It got me. I don't know if I'm explaining myself correctly. It is very powerful. Just, you know, I did do that obedient thing of finding that one scripture. But I thought that was a good scripture. But after 3 years, I realized that's a tough scripture. To be happy all the time? Man, I just couldn't pull that off. That's why for 3 years I couldn't get it. I was saying I was happy. I was, you know, I was confessing it, but it wasn't working. I wasn't happy at all. In fact, I kept telling him, God, I'm going to take time out right here. I just want to tell you, I'm kind of ticked off at the way you operate this thing. It's not working. And I don't see any of your other people doing it either. There's a lot of liars out there, but I don't see them really happy. I mean, really, 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 really happy like you were. Slap on the one cheek, all the other cheek, be happy over it. I'm not happy over that. And I'll just tell you right now, your program is not working. And I probably picked a bad verse to start with, but I'm going to stick with it because I believe somewhere there's power here. Amen. I know it's not in me. But it's got to be in you, in this word. And I'm just going to stay with this word. I'm going to do or die over this word. I'm never going to quit until this word either works or it doesn't work. Doesn't work, I'll have to tell on you. But if it works, then everyone will know. So I just kept doing it, and after 3 years, all of a sudden, one day, a revelation came to me, and I realized, I'm happy. I am forever happy. I don't care what happens. I don't care. I am dead to this world. I don't have any more fears in me. I don't have anything. I'm in love with Jesus. Amen. It's powerful. Yeah. It's powerful. I could give my testimony. I could tell how it happened, but it's powerful. I'm just telling you, the word works. The word did all the work. I didn't help it out. I didn't do anything. I never lied to myself, to God. I might lie to other people, but I never lied to myself and God. So eventually, when that happened, not only did I get guidance, then I know what God was doing. And then I obeyed, and then when I got tested, it didn't bother me at all because I knew I had heard God. I knew I'd heard God. And that was so powerful, so exciting. And then victories began to happen. Miracles began to happen. I mean, unbelievable miracles. Supernatural, without question. I never believed in God. Now I did. I didn't believe in miracles. Now I did. You know, I never loved. Now I did. I had no joy. Now I did. Everything suddenly was working just the way the Bible said. Because I always wondered, I wonder what happened if somebody ever literally took God seriously 100% of the time. I wonder why everybody always postpones this thing till after they're dead. You know, kind of like when they're alive, they're kind of mean and, you know, or phony. And then after they die, they suddenly become better. Because I always hear the minister saying it was a wonderful person. I knew that person. Weren't that wonderful? You know, I was wondering why they said that. You know, I was trying to think of something good to say about the person. And while they were alive, nobody particularly liked them. So, you know, it was amazing to me that this thing really worked. I thought, why wouldn't we try it right now? What's wrong with loving Peggy in this world? All I'd have to do is die. All I'd have to do is die. I mean, as long as I'm alive, I won't do it. But if I died and Christ was in me, then Christ in me could love Peggy. Did you see what I just said and what I did? I was reckoning myself dead unto sin. And I'll tell you what, that will do a psychological, the second four, psychological work in you. Because I didn't believe that. Jim, do you believe that you will be able to love your wife? No. With all your heart? No. With all your soul? No. With all your strength? No. What do you believe? That you love me for not doing anything? No. God said, you know, I'm changing you. I want to change you. Well, you can't do it, God. I don't even believe that's possible. You don't change oil. Can you really do that? That would be a miracle. Jim, that's what I'm in business for. I know that, but still, don't we just sin and get forgiven? Is there real power? Is there really power to change a person in this world? See, I didn't know about that. All I knew is you could sin and then get forgiven. That's the only part of the gospel I knew. But now I heard there's another part, Holy Spirit, and I didn't want any part of that. I don't want the Holy Spirit. That is very flaky. That is definitely sideshow. I don't want that part. Holly, have you thought about that? Speaking in tongues and all that, you know, and leg lengthening and singing happy songs. I didn't want that part. I'll just take the evangelical part where you get saved because you believe in Jesus, take your communion, and that's it. I don't want all that other stuff. But here I am. I mean, I got it all. I thought, well, you know, I guess if it's part of the armor, better take all of it. Let's get all of it. Yeah. So then I fell in love with my mom. I fell in love with my wife. I fell in love with my enemies. I fell in love with everybody. Even the people that hated me, I fell in love with them. Amen. I find I have very, very good enemies. My enemies have done such a good job, they've convinced me. And I don't want to get rid of them. You know, most people want to get rid of their enemies. Oh, God, you know, put my enemies away. They keep me alive. I'll tell you what, enemies are useful. They will keep you, you know, constantly, you know, you have to get to Jesus right away when you got an enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, because they're obnoxious. They'll call you at the wrong time. It's crazy. And so you actually need enemies. That's why Jesus leaves them there. It's good to have obnoxious people in your life. You got one?
Yeah.
There's just some people that irk you. But then you need Jesus. Hey, Jesus, do you love that irky person? Yes, I do, Jim. How come? Oh, I love you. Why? Yeah. I'm not as bad as they are, am I? Let's take a few minutes and I'll show you how you are. And, you know, in a few minutes I see it. I go, wow, that person's sane compared to me. I am really irky. Have you all seen that? Have you all seen that? If somebody else lies, I'm bigger. If somebody else is polluted, I'm worse. You know. And God just has that little ability to say, well, Jim, what are you talking about? Well, I don't see that. I don't think I'm as bad as that. I'd never do something stupid like that. And God said, what about what happened yesterday? What? And then he'll show you and you go, oh, yeah, well, that was stupid. But that was the only time. And then he'll bring out another little, you know, priest. I go, okay, you made your point. You are right. I mean, it is amazing to me how when you're reading the Bible, you will laugh at the bad guy until God shows you it's you.
Yeah.
Say, oh, my God. You know, that is me. I am as dumb as that Pharaoh. I'm as evil as Haman. You know, I have all those same things in me, and that just sets you free when you see it. You go, God, you've loved me all this time while I've been worse than those people that I was criticizing and judging. I'm even worse. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, you all have that? All right, 20. Most churches legalistically skip over the beginning steps in Christian discipleship of meditation and happiness. They guide believers straight to the latter part, that of obedience. And then give some scriptures. 21. Knowing God through meditation, here's what meditation does. Knowing God through meditation produces joy, which eventually works out eventually works out many steps later into obedience in the believer's life. So you've got to have joy before you have obedience. Joy comes first. It's number five, happiness, joy. It's number five, six. It's number six on first base. So first base is where you've got to get. And I do that every day of my life. I repeat this. This is why it's easy for me. It's so easy for me. This is what I do every day. I do the same thing every single day. You don't just do it once in your life. You just do it all the time. This is the whole walk. Well, anyway, every day, the more I meditate on God's love for me, His forgiveness, His mercy, the more joyful I am. This makes me so happy. Jesus, you really love me just unconditionally? That is so awesome. Thank you, Jesus. All right. That eventually will produce obedience. The sign that you know God is that you're happy. So the knowledge of God, meditating on Him to know Him, the knowledge of God is seen in your happiness. 22. If you truly hear the gospel, it produces happiness. If you've heard 1, 2, 3, and 4, then you're happy. Now, how many Christians have I met that are not? How many Christians have I met that are depressed, miserable, unhappy? Not because they're not obeying, number 10. Not because they have no guidance, number 9. Because they've never heard the gospel. You know, now listen, this is going to sound strange. I think most Christians aren't even Christian. I don't think they've ever really repented and seen the end of this world. They're still trying to kind of half repent and then have the world plus Jesus. No. I don't know how I got this, but I got it right off. Jim, it's all the way or not at all. You're either going all the way or don't even get started. I read a verse in there about put your hand to the plow and don't turn back. So you want to get into this thing? Go all the way or skip the whole thing. Don't go halfway and pretend like, you know, you can have one foot in the world and one foot in Jesus. It's all or nothing. Either He's Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. Well, I don't know. I got that down right away. And so I just went all the way and I got it. It's like it really worked. I didn't even think it was going to work. It's like, wow, this is incredible. Love really matters. When you know your love, not that I'm a lover, but that He loved me. We love because He first loved us. So love is number 10. Obedience is nothing but love. Obedience is nothing but love. That's just love working out. That's just love working out. But I didn't understand that. But when I started to, it's like, wow, God's love changes everything. Love is too powerful. It could change the world. If I could become a Christian, anybody could become a Christian. I have never met anyone worse than me. I have never met anyone more devious, more wretched, more evil. My first thoughts are always awful. I have the most awful thoughts. I don't trust anybody. I always think the worst thing of anybody I meet. Did you all know that? That's the first thing ever comes to me. You're a liar. I mean, that's the first thing. When I'm talking with you and you're saying, praise the Lord, you're a phony, you're a liar. That's the first thing that comes to me. I'm not saying that's what you are. I'm just asking the first thing that comes to me. This person is fake. I remember when I was faking yesterday afternoon, just like this, you know. And that's how it comes, because I spend so much time seeing my sin. The minute I see you, I just recognize me. Hey, you're just like me. Big, phony liar. Do you all have that? That's not a gift. That's just what comes to me. I'm not saying I'm even right. I'm just saying that's what comes to me, naturally. I got to spend time with Jesus, otherwise I would have that view. Do you hear what I'm saying? I never believe people. I don't believe people. I always assume they're doing what I used to do. And still do. If it weren't for Jesus, I wouldn't be, you couldn't live with me. I just wouldn't be anyone you want to live with. All right, 23. The Bible says that God is good, but you have to meditate. The Bible says that God is good, but you have to meditate on this truth. Sammy, God is good. Amen. He's good. Amen. Now, Sammy's paying attention. He is, I'm telling you, he is meditating on what I'm saying. You know, you don't have to have a lot of brains or anything. You just have to, yep, good. The man said it's good. It's good. That's all it takes. Do you know that a child can get into this?
Oh, yeah.
I'm serious. little children can get into this. They get into it. You just tell them, and they just go right into it.
Yeah.
Don't give them the wrong view. If you teach them legalistically, they'll never get this. If you try to run over the pitcher to get to home plate, it's not going to work. Go all the way around all the bases. Make sure you touch each bag. Some people will go around first, but they won't touch the bag. That's an out. How can you be a Christian and be depressed? Okay, I have never been depressed. I've never been depressed. You can't depress me. I don't care what I see. I don't care how bad it is. I won't be depressed. Because Jesus loves me. It's not because life is wonderful. I don't even believe life is wonderful. I don't think I'm wonderful. What I think is Jesus is. That's why I can't get depressed. Kill me. It doesn't matter to me. Because that's not impressive to me. It means nothing. Good. Get to go home early. I'm sick of this place anyway. Hello? You know, this life is not fun unless you're dead. I'm dead, so I'm enjoying this life. But I'm not looking for anything. I don't have any stake here. I'm not trying to get my wife to love me or the church to be New Testament or anything. I don't care about, you know, changing the Supreme Court or anything. I don't care about anything. I don't have any cares. I am carefree. I am carefree. I'm free of care. I'm a lover. All I like to do is worship God, and I can worship God dead or alive. You can put me in prison, I can still worship God. So, I mean, He still loves me. I don't care where I am. So I don't have a bad day. There is no such thing as a bad day or a boring day.
Yeah.
I'm never bored. I'm never, never, never. I can always pray. I can always think on God's love for me.
Yeah.
I've memorized a whole bunch of scriptures. They just flood in.
Yeah.
You see? And even if I'm criticizing somebody or, you know, judging them, that scripture will come into my mind. Hey, what about you? Why'd you have to bring that up? I was enjoying, you know, criticizing that person. I mean, I can just criticize people just automatically. I can just do it. But God, through the Holy Spirit, right away is right there. Hey, Jim, what? This is not the way I look at that person. Well, how do you look at them? Well, I'd have never thought of that. I don't look at them that way. I look at them differently. You know, and God has to instruct me, teach me in all His ways. See? This is not my wife. This is God's gift to me to bless me. So she's not mine. I don't possess her, own her, control her. I mean, you don't have to be a Christian to even know that. See? But that doesn't mean you won't try. I tried to control her. I tried to, you know, put her in shape and so on. She didn't shape. She wouldn't. Peggy's small, but she's resistant. She's small, but she's very resistant. Stubborn. She must be German. You know, because he's very stubborn. I don't know if anybody married a German, but they're stubborn. And she's Scottish, too, so she's stingy. She's not only stubborn, but she's stingy and stubborn. But it doesn't make any difference. She's a gift of God. God said, get rid of all that stuff. She's a Christian. She's someone that you love. So, okay, well, it re-educates me. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Well, stop it. Go look in the mirror again. So I have to constantly look in the mirror to remember who I am. Jim, don't forget you're a Christian. When I'm driving on the highway, I cannot remember who I am. I hate it that anyone can get to Dallas before I can. I hate it. If somebody's going 85, you know, and I'm only going 75, I will deliberately get over in their lane or speed up or something. I just hate it that they would get around me or beat me. It troubles me. It's like it's a game. Who can get there first? Even a bumper. You know, if I could just get there a bumper ahead, I'd feel like I won. Do you understand? That is pagan. Instead, I should be blessing people, driving slowly, memorizing scriptures, and so on. But I always forget. When I get in the car, I'm right there. I'm a race driver, and I'm going to win. So it's hard. The other problem is I'm late all the time, so that's another problem. But I was early tonight. I was very early, so by 1 second, I think I was here. That's early. All right. The Bible says that God is good, but you have to meditate on this truth in order to grow. We meditate on who God is in us and who we are in Him. So, you meditate on God. There is no such thing as God, by the way. This is the only God there is. Listen carefully. God in you. That's the only God there is. If you know God apart from you, you don't know God. There is no such God as the God who made heaven and earth apart from you. You don't know Him then. The only way to know God now is to know him in you. You must be of him. You must be in him. He must be in you. That's the only God there is. There is no God out there all in and of himself. I'm sorry. That's what we'd like to think. Well, I know there's a God up there. Wait a minute. If you don't know he's in here, you don't know him. You know him outwardly, yes. I know you know about him. You've heard of him. But you don't have any personal relationship with him, then you don't have a God. Because this God can only be known personally. He can't be known like a cricket knows him. Do you understand? You're a person. You're not a cricket. You're not a rock. You're not a cloud. You're a person, and persons have to know him personally. He made you in his image so you'd walk in his likeness. Crickets don't. No cricket was made in the image of God. See, a rock is not made to walk like God. You are unique in all creation. And he made all of us that way, so to know about God, which we think is a great advance over the cricket, it's not. To know about God is still to be lost and go to hell. So you are no greater than a cricket. If you don't know him, love him, obey him. This is what God wants. Amen?
Amen.
He wants to make every one of us victorious.
Amen.
You shouldn't stop at 10, 11, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He wants you to go all the way, over and over, round and round, round and round. Keep going around till you just have victory after victory. From glory to glory, he's changing me. So there should be glory all the time. I've never been in defeat. Ever since I became a Christian, I've never been defeated. I just go from glory to glory. Amen?
Amen.
The more I understand about Jesus, see, if I forget, maybe I'm lousy at number 10. I just run back to number 1, 2, 3, and 4. Maybe I'm not worshiping God. Okay, I just go back to 1, 2, 3, and 4. It doesn't matter. I don't need to get all that. I'm not going to be saved by that anyway. I'm just saved by 1, 2, 3, and 4. Do you hear me? But when I have 1, 2, 3, and 4, faith is always active in love. It's going to cause me to meditate and then to be happy and then to worship and then to have character and then to be guided and then to obey and then to be tested and then to have the victory. It just happens. It's not even possible for that not to happen. Or you didn't know who God was. He is not the kind of God that would create you and then leave you in the middle of the room. He brings you home, then grows you up, cleans you up, makes you an adult, then marries you. I mean, he just goes all the way till you're just like him. Don't you want children to be like you? I want my children to be like me, only not like me. I want them to be like Jesus.
Amen.
I want all my girls to be godly, and they are. And I want all my sons, and they only have one, but I want them to be godly, and he is. So, you know, I'm victorious. That is unbelievable.
Amen.
And, you know, if I could get Peggy, I'd have the whole thing. It's a joke. Perfect wife. I can't believe how, I can't believe I have everything. I just can't believe I have everything. You know, there's a lot of people who don't have their own family. They don't have their wife and children in order and in line. And, you know, they don't have a relationship with God. They don't have anything. I got everything. I just can't believe it. It's like I got too much. I feel like I'm cheating. Do y'all feel like you're going to get heaven and then you get heaven on earth? It's like, wow, I thought the party was starting later. It's already begun. Y'all having fun? For me, happiness is early on. Get a hold of this. This is good news. Good news. Oh, unbelievable. Not that I love God, but that he loves me. It's also good news that I love God, but that's later. But I don't ever forget how I got here. It's because of what he did, not what I did. I'm later. Many people, 24, are depending on their works or performance. Many means almost everyone. Many people are depending on their works or performance. My religion is faith-based. Most people's religion is performance-based. Performance-based. This is not a foundation that will withstand testing. So by the time you get to 11, even though you obeyed in number 10, the test will knock you out and you don't get home. I don't know if you understood the humor of what I just said. There's humor in that. Is if you get to third base, but then you get tagged out because the test, you can't endure. Many people think you get into a test and they just can't endure. Their good religion just goes out the window. Why would I go all the way to third base and then fail if God's the pitcher? If God's the pitcher. I mean, it's like the dad is pitching to his little son. He's not going to get him out. No dad's ever going to throw the ball so the little kid can't hit it. He'd get right next to the kid. Okay, here, you know, atta boy, you did it. Whoa, you know, and the dad wants that little kid to run, and then when the kid hits the ball, if he ever does, miraculously, the dad will run after him real slowly so that the little kid runs around base, you know, until he gets home. So you did it. He's trying to teach him something, that victories are what you're made for. Right. You were made never to be defeated. Do you understand that? You are a royal priesthood. You are so precious. And knowing that, I not only see myself differently, I see everybody differently. I don't care who the bum is or the person that looks so horrible or awful or whatever. To me, they're precious. Because if God could pull me out of the slimy pit, he could pull anybody out.
Yeah.
Do you understand? I mean, there's no end to what one could accomplish in this world. You don't have to be brilliant or anything. You don't have to be anything. Once you get a hold of God, it's over. You have won. If you ever get a hold of this, you will be a giant. You will be powerful in this world. But if you don't know you're loved, you can't go anywhere. You have to know that God loves you unconditionally. Imagine being God's son, his daughter. Imagine being his special. And all he's thinking about night and day is you. That'll change your thinking. That'll change your life. I like to think on that. God, do you love Jesus or me the most? God says, what are you saying? Well, I just want to know if you love Jesus more than me, or me more than Jesus, or equal. Which is it? You know, and God loves those kind of questions. He says, Jim, you're going to marry him. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I guess we're kind of equal, right? Or you like him a little bit more. Which? You know, and he likes that because I'm trying to figure it out. How much am I loved? Total, Jim. Total? Wow. 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 I just go around, wow, all day long. Have you ever thought about that? No matter what I do, I know Jesus never did anything wrong. I do all kinds of things wrong, but he still loves me. Huh. I'm amazed at that. You still want me for your boy? You still going to keep me in the family? I'd get rid of me. You don't want to? Oh, goody. I'm going to go smiling today. Can I smile all day? You know, and I'm happy all the time because Jesus loves me all the time. In fact, he said, Jim, look, just get this down. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Wow, never? Well, what if I turn away from you? Jim, I will never. I know you said never, but you meant never unless I'm bad, right? No, never. Wow, that'll just change your life. To know that you're loved unconditionally is just mind-blowing. I just can't understand that. Well, you say, Jim, if you knew how wicked you were, you'd understand that. Because you don't ever produce anything good. So I'm always loving you unconditionally. You're never good. Oh. Well, I guess you're right. I guess I never am good. You know, that is a great delight to figure that out. The more I see my sinfulness, the freer I get. Because I realize, you know, that's kind of what he said. Sinner. Kind of like, I guess that's what I am. Sinner. I mean, I don't really know that. I just know I've got a lot of it. I don't know how much I've got, though. But kind of on a daily basis, he shows me a few more. Oh, yeah, got a bunch of those, too. Yep. And every time I judge somebody, I'll have that, too. It's like, well, then I pretty much broke all 10. Pretty much. Yep. And see, I realize now the only thing you got going for you is those first four. That's the foundation of everything. Without a pitcher, there's no game. Christianity is relationship. Long before relationship. Christianity is relationship. Long before it works its way out in performance. Christianity is relationship before performance. Relationship always precedes performance. Those are the two blanks. Relationship, performance. A person who goes straight for obedience, third base, skipping over relationship, 4, 5, 6, whatever it is. 6, 7, whatever it is. 5, 6, 7, 8. That's the relationship that he's trying to produce, not the behavior. A person that goes straight for obedience, 9, 10, 11, and 12, skipping over relationship, 5, 6, 7, and 8, is not known by God. Is not known by God. Holiness, which is second base, Holiness without happiness is legalism. Holiness without happiness is legalism. So you got to have first base before you have second base. Did you see that? Holiness, okay, that's up there. That's second base. Without happiness first, then it's just legalism. You just ran over the pitcher. You ran straight for and knocked the pitcher down and went straight for second base just because you didn't like the first baseman. See? People that don't have good relationships, they hate themselves. They're not happy. The reason they're not happy is because they don't like themselves. So they pick on everybody else, but actually they hate themselves. So when I meet someone who's mean toward other people and doesn't get along, I know what the problem is. You ran over the pitcher. You just ran over God. You ran over your dad. You're just not even playing the game right. You should have got happy first. How can you get married until you're already happy? You're not going to marry somebody to make you happy. Has anybody ever tried that one? That's running over the pitcher and going straight to second base. I'm going to marry you, and you will make me happy. Aha! That will not work. How many know that a man can't make you happy? How many ladies have figured that out? Elizabeth Taylor is still looking. No, she quit. Actually, she said, after eight, that's it. She said, you know, I'm giving up on it. I just don't think there's a man out there. Amen? Isn't that great? I bet she never found a Christian. I bet she never found a Christian because she's polluted herself long ago. No wonder she can't find, because she's looking for something extraordinary rather than just an ordinary person that Jesus would give her. Holiness without happiness is legalism. 28, God loves us before we change. God loves us before we change.
Amen.
Therefore, a believer is happy before he is outwardly holy. God loves us before we change. Therefore, a believer is happy before he is holy. 29, holiness is inward before it's outward. Holiness is inward, second base, before it's outward, third base. Being born again, 30, takes place quickly, but discipleship is a long process. Jesus discipled the 12 apostles night and day for 3 years. He didn't just do it in the daytime, by the way. He actually lived with these guys. He walked around with them all over Galilee. In fact, they had a bunch of ladies also tagging along because they were the only ones with any money. The women had all of the wherewithal to fund Jesus's, you know, little banquets and parties and lunch money and whatnot. Did you know that? The men weren't even working. Here you had 12 apostles walking around with Jesus. They weren't working. They were just tagging along with Jesus. Somebody had to fund that. So a bunch of the women who had, you know, miserable husbands, no doubt, they had the purse, and they would just go around, you know, it was great. They are always paying for everything. I don't know if you know that, but if you look closely at the New Testament, you'll realize there was always Mary and the other Mary and all these ladies always walking around. There's a whole bunch of them, and they would pay for everything. No, don't worry about it. It's Jesus and so on. Here, I'll cover it. My husband won't know. You know, no, I don't know. Just a joke. But it just was taken care of. That's all I'm trying to point out. And so it was neat. I mean, he had it. Wherever he went, there was a huge crowd. Don't picture Jesus just walking along the road. He had 12 guys plus a whole bunch of ladies all tagging around. It was neat. I mean, he was a moving circus. I mean, it was marvelous. Being born again takes place quickly, but discipleship is a long process. The root, 31, is the key to the fruit. Root, fruit. The root is always the key to the fruit. Discipleship is developing your root. Discipleship is developing your root. It's cutting back your branches. You see, in discipleship, you're not encouraged to bear fruit. You're encouraged to be pruned back. Isn't that interesting? You would think in discipleship that the whole point would be to get some fruit out of these Christians. No, the opposite. Cut back their branches that bear the fruit so that all the juice goes down to the root. Let the roots go deeper into 1, 2, 3, and 4. Then you'll meditate, then you'll be happy, then you'll worship, then you'll have character, then you'll be guided, then you'll obey, then you'll be tested, and then you'll get the victory. But we're not going to get that fruit, see, which is 9, 10, 11, and 12. You're not going to get that fruit until you have that relationship into the root. 1, 2, 3, and 4. So the first four are the root. The second four are the branches, which is the relationship and the chastening and where all the hard work is. And then the last four are easy. Piece of cake. Last two. Change in the believer's behavior. That's 9, 10, 11, and 12. Change in the believer's behavior is almost the last step in discipleship. Change in behavior. So no one is looking for early behavior. Has anybody here ever grown grape? You ever raised grapes? Anybody? It takes 4 years to grow grapes, to get them up to what they call commercial grade. So the first year, you're just basically cutting stuff back and you get almost nothing. The next year, you get a little bit of fruit, but you're still cutting it all back all the time, because you're trying to force all of the life into the roots. Let them develop. The third year, you get some grapes, but again, they're not worth, there's nothing commercial there. And then the last year, the fourth year, that's when it becomes commercial, or you really have fruitage, only if you did all that cutting all the time. Same with roses, same with anything else. You got to spend a lot of time pruning. Same with peach trees or anything. If you're from Parker County, peach trees have to be cut back constantly. And it looks awful. It looks like, oh, those trees are so ugly. But that's what makes them beautiful and bear a lot of fruit. Last one. There are two basic parts of discipleship, inner and outer. The key to growth is knowing God. God is love. The key to growth is knowing God. 1, 2, 3, 4. God is love. Actually, if you look at it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, all love. Everything is love. Everything is the love of God. Everything on there is the love of God working out. I love you all.
Hallelujah. Wow, that's loud. Well, God is good, isn't he? God is.